You're listening to the Ordinary Vegan Podcast, where we teach you everything you need to know about adopting a plant-based diet, full or part-time. Our goal is to empower you to live a long and healthy life. You can find today's show at ordinaryvegan.net or on iTunes. If you have any questions, please send an email to questions@ordinaryvegan.net.
Hello, friends, and welcome to the Ordinary Vegan Podcast. Number 49, allergy causes, symptoms, and prevention. If we haven't met, my name is Nancy Montori, and my number one mission in life is to help you stay well. I do that by advocating a healthy, whole food, plant-based diet, and I created this podcast to inspire you and encourage you to take good care of yourself because you deserve it. And when you extend that kindness to yourself, you are also extending that kindness to the planet, because animal foods play a devastating role in global warming and all kinds of environmental damage. When you eat plants, you are also rejecting the inhumane treatment of non-human animals. So adding more plants to your diet is a win-win situation. And always remember, you don't have to be perfect. It is hard to believe that 2018 is winding down. And I must say, it's been a very busy year for me, doing my podcast, writing for my website, and writing my cookbook, finally, developing recipes, Facebook Live shows, and creating new CBD products. And I just want to take a moment to thank all of you so much for your encouraging words and support. I love hearing from you, and I so appreciate that you take your valuable time to reach out. You guys are what keep me going every day, and I can never say thank you enough, and I am always here to serve you, and I promise to do the best I can. Now, let's talk about allergies. Did you know that allergies are on the rise? According to the Asthma and Allergy Foundation of America, more than 50 million Americans have experienced various types of allergies each year, and allergies are the sixth leading cause of chronic illness in the United States. Also, allergic conditions are the most common health issue affecting children here in the United States. Allergies can also be life-threatening and cause anaphylaxis, which is an acute allergic reaction to an antigen like an insect sting, food, or medicine. And medicines cause the most allergy-related deaths. An allergy occurs when your body's natural defenses overreact to exposure to a particular substance, treating it as an invader and sending out chemicals to defend against it. A leading theory behind the rising allergy and asthma rates is called the hygiene hypothesis. The hygiene hypothesis states that living conditions in much of the world might be too clean, and kids aren't getting exposed to germs that train their immune systems to develop a resistance to harmful irritants. This theory was first introduced in the late 1980s by David Strand, a professor of epidemiology. Strand found that children in larger households had fewer instances of allergies because they were exposed to germs by their older siblings. So in other words, it isn't all bad when a child is exposed to germs because it builds their immune system. But other research suggests that the rising prevalence of allergies may be much more complex in the result of many factors, and we will discuss those in the ways to protect yourselves from them. Let's start with one of the most common, food allergies. Peanuts is the most common allergen, followed by milk and shellfish. Others include soy, eggs, wheat, tree nuts, and fish. A food allergy is a specific type of adverse food reaction involving the immune system. A food allergy is not the same as a food intolerance. A food intolerance is an abnormal response to a food or additive, but it does not involve the immune system. According to the Food Allergy Research and Education Center, 15 million Americans have food allergies, including close to 6 million children under the age of 18. The most common symptoms of food allergy are hives, itching, or a skin rash, or sometimes swelling of the lips, face, tongue, throat, or other parts of the body. Also, wheezing, nasal congestion, or trouble breathing. Others could have abdominal pain, nausea, diarrhea, vomiting, dizziness, lightheadedness, or fainting. They are all ailments. A severe allergic reaction to food can cause swelling of the throat and ear passages that makes it difficult to breathe. You can also go into shock and have a severe drop in blood pressure. To reduce the risks to food allergies in the United States, the FDA tries to make sure food is accurately labeled with major food allergens. If you suspect you have a food allergy, it's very important to figure it out, and there are a few ways to do that. First, you could go see an allergist and be tested. Or you could keep a food diary for a couple of weeks. Just write down everything you eat and record any symptoms that occur after you eat certain foods. You could also just eliminate the foods that you suspect are causing the allergy and see if your symptoms go away, especially dairy. Let's talk about dairy because it is a common allergy and many people don't know they have a dairy allergy. For some reason, I always remember this story by the actor Woody Harrelson. He said when he was in his 20s, he was always congested and commonly had tons of face breakouts and acne. One day, he met some random girl on a bus who told him to quit dairy and all those symptoms would go away. So he quit dairy and his symptoms were gone within 3 days. But it is not just Woody Harrelson connecting dairy milk with acne and congestion. Growing scientific evidence suggests a link between cow's milk and acne. In 2004, a study was conducted on 47,000 women, and the study found that acne was positively associated with the quantity of cow's milk they ingested. In 2006, a study was done on over 6,000 girls aged 9 to 15 years old over 3 years. That study also found positive associations between the prevalence of acne and the intake of total cow's milk. More recently, in 2016, the Journal of the American Academy of Dermatology found a link between the amount of cow's milk you drink and how much acne you have. Also, as I mentioned earlier, medicines cause the most allergy-related deaths. Cows are fed antibiotic medicine to make them grow faster or help them survive crowded, unsanitary conditions. Lactating cows aren't supposed to receive antibiotics unless they are actually sick because the drug residue will appear in the cow's milk, which is a violation of food safety laws. Milk shipments are tested for antibiotics, so farmers are supposed to discard the cow's milk for several days until the residue disappears. But farmers are getting around that by using antibiotic drugs that aren't supposed to be used on dairy cows at all, so they're not tested for it. I have mentioned in previous podcasts, when these antibiotic drugs are overused and we consume these animal products, we may become antibiotic resistant, which is one of the leading human health threats of our time. So even if you don't have an allergy, it is not safe to drink cow's milk, and that includes cheese made from cow's milk. Let's talk about some other food allergies. Many of you reach out to me because you are allergic to nuts. Unfortunately, nuts are hiding everywhere. Baked goods, cereals, energy bars, veggie burgers, and even salad dressing. If you are buying processed food, you probably know by now how to read a food label to avoid nuts. If you're looking for alternatives to nuts in a vegan diet, I recommend seeds like hemp, ground flax, and chia seeds for protein. If you're not allergic to soy, you could eat soy nuts, which are dried soybeans, or sunflower or pumpkin seeds, which are mineral, iron, and protein rich. You can also buy seed butters to replace peanut butter. So please don't think you can't consume a vegan diet if you are allergic to nuts. A soy allergy is much more complicated because soybeans are a big part of processed foods, and soy is a regular staple for most people on a vegan diet. I recommend seitan as a soy-free substitute for tofu in recipes. Seitan is made from wheat gluten, and it has approximately 21 grams of protein in one serving. It also has iron and calcium. It's low in fat, calories, and a good source of fiber. I personally love seitan and cook with it often. Why don't we take a break and go into Ordinary Vegan's kitchen for a delicious marinated seitan sandwich with a spicy cabbage slaw. You begin by making the marinade. In a medium bowl, whisk together 1/4 cup of tamari or low-sodium soy sauce, 1/4 cup of brown sugar, 2 cloves of garlic chopped, 2 teaspoons of fresh ginger, and 1 tablespoon of Dijon mustard. Add 8 ounces of plain seitan cut into bite-sized pieces and cover that and refrigerate it for at least an hour, turning it once. In the meantime, make your spicy cabbage. In a large bowl, combine 1/2 head of red or white cabbage that has been cored and cut into ribbons. Next, add 1/2 cup of chopped red onions. Add 1 red Fresno chili or jalapeno that has been thinly sliced, seeds removed. Now, in another small bowl, make the cabbage dressing by whisking together 1/4 cup of red wine or white vinegar, 1/8 cup of extra virgin olive oil, 2 chopped cloves of garlic, 2 tablespoons of lemon juice, and 1 1/2 teaspoons of dried oregano. Give it a pinch of salt and some fresh ground black pepper. Whisk that together and taste for seasoning, and add more olive oil if it's too tart. I like mine tart. Now, slowly add some of the dressing to the cabbage, mixing it a little at a time so you don't overdress it. Refrigerate that cabbage for 15 minutes. Now back to the seitan. Heat a nonstick pan over medium heat with 2 tablespoons of vegetable broth. Remove the seitan from the marinade, saving the liquid. Place that seitan into the pan and saute for approximately 4 to 5 minutes until it's crispy. Then add the marinade and cook another minute or two until the marinade is hot and has reduced a little. Now let's put it together. Place a mound of the cabbage mixture on a grilled or toasted bun that has been spread with some grainy mustard. Top it with 1/2 of the seitan, and then spoon some of the pan juices over it and serve. Now let's get back to our allergies. There is one more growing food allergy that has researchers scrambling to understand, and that is celiac disease and gluten sensitivity. Celiac disease is a very serious disease. An early diagnosis is important because if it's left untreated, the disorder can result in grave complications. If you're not familiar with it, celiac disease is a digestive disorder triggered by gluten. There is no cure for celiac disease, but for most people, following a strict gluten-free diet can help manage the symptoms and promote intestinal healing. The symptoms can be a range of things. The most common signs for adults are fatigue, diarrhea, bloating, gas, abdominal pain, nausea, and vomiting. Symptoms in children can be growth problems, weight loss, constipation, fatigue, irritability, or abdominal pain. To follow a gluten-free diet, you must avoid wheat and other grains that contain gluten. But at the same time, consume substitutes that provide the same nutrients for a healthy plant-based diet. Gluten contamination can occur during any stage of food preparation, which makes it very difficult to be gluten-free. It is important to cook gluten-free food in separate pots and pans, and even use separate utensils. You need to use a separate toaster for gluten-free bread. You should use separate containers for butters and jams because knives can transfer crumbs from regular bread. Also, always ask your pharmacist if a prescription is gluten-free. There are no shortcuts. It takes a lot of work to live a gluten-free life. And I feel for any of you out there who have celiac disease or gluten sensitivity. Now, let's talk about some other common allergies. Allergies and colds share some common symptoms, such as an itchy throat, watery eyes, nasal congestion, sneezing, runny nose, and coughing. So how do you know if it's an allergy or a cold? Colds are more likely to cause fever, severe sore throat, fatigue, and aches and pains. Allergies, on the other hand, are more likely to cause itchy eyes, wheezing, and skin rashes such as eczema or hives. Every year, over 50 million Americans experience allergies. Seasonal allergies such as tree, grass, and weed pollen are common triggers, but you may also be allergic to certain substances year-round like animal dander, dust mites, mold, and common household items. Here are some tips. Did you know there are 47 different species of house dust mites, and they love warm places such as bedding, carpeting, and furniture? Dust mites are tiny microscopic relatives of the spider. They live on mattresses, bedding, upholstered furniture, carpets, and curtains. Dust mites can also reside in your pillow, I'm sorry to say. Pillows should be replaced every 2 years, but most people wait much longer, and many people never wash their pillows because they think the pillowcase is a protector, but it is not a protector from dust mites. Encase your mattress and pillows in dust-proof or allergen covers, and wash all your bedding and blankets once a week in hot water to kill dust mites. If you have severe allergy problems at home, you might want to replace wall-to-wall carpets with bare floors and remove fabric curtains. You might also want to wear a mask when you're vacuuming to avoid inhaling allergens and stay out of the vacuumed area for 20 minutes to allow any dust and allergens to settle. If you have heavy drapes or shades, they can collect dust and pet dander through forced ear heat during the winter, and that can trigger allergies. Also, minimize clutter. Regular cleaning and decluttering will control the allergens present in your home. And these tips could also really help reduce allergy and asthma attacks in kids. Mold is another problem. Mold in your home could also be causing allergies, and mold hangs out in many places in your home. Don't ever leave damp laundry in your washer or dryer. mold can grow there. Also, air out the shower after a hot shower by turning a fan or opening a window. Never have carpeting in laundry rooms, basements, or bathrooms. Since mold likes to grow in the dark, install a light or timer in dark rooms like basements and closets. Mold also loves potted soil, so don't overwater houseplants. And always try to keep your indoor trash cans clean, because mold loves trash cans. And as I have mentioned in previous podcasts, only use green cleaning products without chemicals. Most of those products are free of chemicals that can trigger allergic reactions. There are also seasonal allergies to ragweed pollen that grows wild almost everywhere, but especially on the East Coast and the Midwest. It is hard to avoid ragweed pollen during allergy season, but some recommendations are to keep your windows and doors shut at home and in your car during allergy season. Take a shower, wash your hair and clothes after you've been outdoors. That will also protect you. You might want to wear a filter mask when you're working in the garden or doing outdoor activities or chores like mowing the lawn. The last thing I want to mention are some antihistamine foods that can help ease allergy symptoms. The number one food for allergy relief is pineapple, because pineapple is the best source of a very powerful digestive enzyme called bromelain. Not that I'm suggesting you take it as a supplement, but bromelain is one of the most popular supplements in Germany for the treatment of inflammation and swelling of the nose and sinuses. Bromelain is also a powerful anti-inflammatory. So pineapple is your best friend when dealing with allergies, and I would include it in my diet a few times a day. Onions are another strong food for allergies because they're rich in quercetin, a flavonoid that acts as a natural antihistamine. Other strong sources of quercetin are apples, capers, berries, citrus fruit, and black and green tea. The last food I want to talk about is turmeric. Turmeric contains curcumin, which is an anti-inflammatory compound that inhibits the release of histamine. Histamine is a compound that is released by cells in allergic reactions. They can make you sneeze, tear up, or itch. So curcumin inhibits an allergic response and decreases oxidative stress. Curcumin has also been shown to increase nasal airflow. So you can't go wrong with curcumin during allergy season. That is it. I hope these allergy tips can help you. Thanks for being here today. Thanks for listening. As my subscribers know, I believe that true health comes with a deep understanding of how our bodies work, and that is why I promote CBD oil. I recently launched my organic vegan CBD pain cream from hemp, which contains a CBD isolate that immediately attacks any ache or pain. And I included other healing agents like vitamin E oil to help treat skin problems like psoriasis or eczema, arnica oil for sore muscles and sprains, and avocado butter to soothe and deeply moisturize the skin. The reviews are in, and I am happy to say that my CBD pain cream is helping so many. Here are a couple of the emails. This is from Laura. I recently tried Ordinary Vegan CBD pain cream after straining my neck moving furniture. The cream looks more like a salve and is a beautiful pale green color, and it smells divine. It massages easily into the skin, and best of all, it works. My neck had been killing me for days, and after massaging it into my neck, I felt almost instant relief. Thank you. This is from Lee. I received my CBD cream from Ordinary Vegan. My hands were in a lot of pain and I could not bend my fingers. I applied some and within 35 minutes, I could bend them and the pain was gone. I used it sparingly, but massaged it in good but gingerly. I love the color and the smell. It doesn't smell medicinal. This is from Dennis. I was having hip spasms for over a week. I bought your cream, applied it, and 30 minutes later, my spasms were gone. Thank you, Ordinary Vegan. If you want to try my CBD pain cream from hemp, just go to my website, ordinaryvegan.net, and hit shop, and you will find all my products, including CBD capsules and CBD tinctures. Thanks again for being here. I couldn't do what I love without all of you. Please follow Ordinary Vegan on Instagram and head over to Facebook to join our large health and wellness community, over 315,000 strong. Just go to facebook.com/ordinaryvegan. We also have a Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/ordinaryvegan. You can find today's show notes and recipe at ordinaryvegan.net. If you get a chance, please write a review in iTunes or Spotify. The more reviews, the more visibility the podcast gets. Last but not least, I would like to thank Feedspot.com for naming the Ordinary Vegan Podcast Top 25 Vegan Podcasts of 2018. Till next time.
Thanks for joining our plant-based community today. Together, we can accomplish great things. Please subscribe so you don't miss any of Ordinary Vegan's recipes and plant-based tips. If you have any questions or feedback, email us at questions@ordinaryvegan.net. Until next time.